I don't know what was going on.
Yeah.
I tried to crawl, to run out of the house there. The husband just caught me and brutalized me. I had those beautiful, long, thin braids on my head. He was pulling them out of my head.
Sure.
He was pulling them. To be honest, we were far from God, both of us.
Mm. I think he became jealous when you wanted to study. He felt like your attention is being divided.
Every time I tried to try and resolve issues with my husband, it's the threat of divorce. I'll divorce you, I'll divorce you, I'll divorce you. So my husband got stroke. And as I'm busy preparing food in the kitchen, I hear screams, hey, Mr. Johnson is walking, Mr. Johnson.
Hey, everybody, walking?
Yes, from the salvation.
From a wheelchair, the same night, after receiving Christ. Hola, Ascend fam, and welcome to another episode of I've Been Through the Most podcast. This is a podcast that allows you to hear authentic stories from our guests. And today is going to be no different, Millicent. We're going to hear another powerful story. But before that, we ask you to sign the register, and that is to simply subscribe to the family. Help us grow our family. We are on a road to 500K subscribers. We know that this goal is possible, and we're trying to reach it before the end of 2025. So it's very easy. Just click on the subscribe button. It's absolutely free. No charge, absolutely nothing. Join the Sand fam and let's continue to grow the platform and the podcast as we bring you more interesting and life-changing stories.
Thank you so much for watching us here on YouTube or whether you're listening to us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. We appreciate you and welcome. Make sure to let us know where you are watching or listening from in the comment section. We'd love to hear what you have to say. Also, because it's absolutely free to subscribe, make sure you don't skip the ads.
Yes,
so
please.
That because it does assist with the revenue, just keeping the lights on and making sure that we keep the episodes coming. But for now, we are joined by an incredible woman who was brave enough to come and share her story.
You're welcome, also, Sam Twins. Aww. It's so good to meet you
in person, right? In person. Although you're sitting on the hot seat,
although I'm sitting on the hot seat.
Now you're gonna be watching yourself and like, today's my turn. So, Mambuyiswa, please introduce yourself to our audience.
And okay, my name is Buyiswa Jane Metseng Johnson. I'm from the Northern Cape in a small town called Warrenton, but I live in Kimberley, the capital city of the Northern Cape. I drove from there. Yes, I drove from there to come here. By God's grace, yes, here I am.
Praise God, thank you.
Yes, I have wanted to come last year.
Yeah.
By some reason I wasn't able to come then due to, I think, logistics or something.
Yeah.
But then when I wasn't able to come here, then I think I heard the Lord telling me to write my story. The story that I'm going to talk about now.
Yeah.
He then inspired me to write it.
Wow.
He inspired me to write your story and let the Herald run with it.
Mm.
And hence I wrote the book called Buyiswa 27.za, Intersecting Politics and Religion. This is coming, this title comes from actually my experiences with politics and religion within my marriage. So around 1994, that was when we had the first general elections, the first democratic elections in 1994. That's when I met my late ex-husband, Itumeleng Raymond Johnson. He was from exile. He had been in exile for 17 years. So I met him just after the loss of my grandmother. And at the time when I met him, I was at college, struggling with my final year of study at college, studying to become a teacher in the Northern, in Kimberley there. So I met him, and we relocated and went to live in Pretoria. And quick, after the relocation to Pretoria, then there was a diplomatic posting. He got posted to Nigeria as a diplomat, so I had to go with him. At the time, when I met him, I was already a mother to a 3 to 4 year old daughter.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes, so he accepted my daughter as his own child. Then 2 years down the line, after we got married, 2 years down the line, then I also had a child with him. A boy child who looks exactly like him, for whom he was very, very happy to have that child who looks exactly like him. And the fact that he spent so much time in exile without a relationship, waiting, you know, to return to the country. And people were not sure that he will ever have that desire to settle down and have. But yeah, he was very excited to have me and his son, our own family, you know. So the marriage went well. It was interesting for me because I learned a lot of things with him. I started to know a lot of things about life and the life of the exiles. How it was for those people, how they struggled, what was the cause of their struggle.
Ish.
I learned quite a lot from them. Then in Nigeria there was a community of South Africans, diplomatic community of South Africans there. So we were mingling together, living together, partying together, you know, functioning together with them. But then I was bothered because it seemed as if my life is
stagnant.
Yeah, I was stagnant. When we left there, I had to drop my studies out of my studies. And I dropped out of my studies thinking that when we are in Pretoria, I will complete that final year. But I didn't get to complete it because now the diplomatic posting came so quick, you know. And then, but then I felt that I was only left with a few modules in my final year. I want to complete this thing. It bothers me that I'm sitting, I have so much time in my hands there and I'm doing nothing. And we are just a new country, just found freedom, and everybody is looking for somewhere to put their foot, a space to occupy, career-wise and all that, you know, to exercise our freedom. And I'm sitting there, and I'm not exercising my freedom. I'm only supporting my husband.
Yes.
But then I thought, let me see if I can register while I'm there. Either through UNISA or something, somehow that something that will enable me to complete my studies. So I tried to, because we didn't have a phone in the house in Nigeria at that time. It was 1996, 1997, those years. We didn't have a phone in the house. So I'm going to his office now. I'm trying to call home, ask my sister to collect my academic record.
Yes.
Bring my academic record, see what I can do with it while that side. I don't know what happened, what something bothered my husband at that time, because even at the office when I tried to go and make that call, it was as if he told the lady who was at the reception to not allow me in. I don't know what was going in. I was used to going to the office to make to make calls whenever I want to call home. By this time around, there was just this funny atmosphere that wasn't nice. And then at the house, I tried to ask him what is exactly
the problem
going on, because I want to do this. Yeah. I want to get my studies off my back, even when I'm sitting here, because the postings are normally 5 years, you know, and then you go.
But back.
When when we are done with that 5 years, I will have something
that I'm doing
to go back to, you know. But then, just for that, he started to kick me around.
Mm.
He started to hit me, pull me, you know, throw me to the floor, kicking me left, right, and center, you know. He brutalized me very, very badly. I don't know what was going on.
Yeah.
I tried to crawl, to run out of the house there. The husband just caught me and brutalized me, you know, painfully. I had braids on my hair. Thin, you know, the Nigerians know how to. I had those beautiful, long, thin braids on my head. He was pulling them out of my head.
Sure.
He was pulling them, you know. He was pulling them and kicking me. I bled and was bruised. When he was tired, he left me and went downstairs because we had friends. His friends from South Africa were there visiting us. So he went downstairs and continued to party with his friends downstairs.
Mm.
That time, me and him, we know, to be honest, we were far from God, both of us.
Mm.
We were both, myself also, we were far from God. We were not attending church. We are in a foreign country, you know. And then I managed to crawl out somehow and ran to the neighbors. We were befriended to this couple somewhere not far from the house there, you know. And then they managed to call my ambassador to come and see me, you know.
Yes.
He came. He didn't come immediately. He came with his wife the next morning. I slept at that lady's house. The next morning, the ambassador comes with his wife and they take me to the house to try and talk to my husband, to talk to Ray. Ray,
what did you do?
What happened? Mm. What's going on? He just said, she pushed me. She pushed me. What do you mean she pushed you? She pushed me. She pushed me to do. I only did what she asked for.
Mm-hmm.
You know. You know, it was so painful that the guy was saying that he can't promise that this will not... The ambassador's wife was saying, please at least promise us this thing will not happen again. Because Jane wants to be sure that she is safe to sleep in a house.
Yes.
You know, promise us that it will not happen again. But Ray said, I can't give that promise. You know. So then when the ambassador heard him say that, he said, Jane, you're here for yourself. What do you want us to do for you? I said, can you please just let me go home safely with my children? And then Ray jumped, because that time now, I have now two children.
Yeah.
It is my daughter that he found me with and our son.
Mm.
Now he jumps and says that, that going home, it can be arranged, but just to be sure, my son is going nowhere. You can take your daughter and go. My son is going nowhere.
And this is a different person, I'm sure, that you fell in love with. I mean, had he previously abused you?
Lovely person.
I think he became jealous when you wanted to study. He felt like your attention is being divided.
Yeah.
Also, some men, they don't want these empowered women. For them, it's like, no, you're here to support me. What is this divided attention that you want? To study for who?
I'm providing, just relax.
What's your problem?
Yes. And I think also, if you can just understand the background of my ex-husband.
Mm.
My ex-husband was not, he was from, you know, a liberation movement that is, that is very, I don't know.
Male-dominated.
Yeah, and their views, that Africanism view of theirs. So he viewed
punishment.
Me.
Punishment.
Yeah, no, he saw me as somebody who is like, because I wasn't from exile like most of his friends.
Okay.
My mindset is not like
it's
theirs.
Different.
So
yeah.
He feels like I'm indoctrinated by the system of the white man.
So that aggravated him.
Yes.
So this went very deep for him, I guess.
Very deep.
So he became someone, I guess, that he probably didn't want to be that person, but you saw a different side of him.
Mm. to everyone, he was nice. He was a very nice person, very generous, giving. He was generous to people. He loved people. He did things for people. He came and made sure that people, young youth that was unemployed, most of them, they are now in the defense force because of him. It was him who made sure that unemployment is not going to be a thing in his community.
He was a freedom fighter.
As long as he is there. He didn't go to exile to fight for Mahala. You know. So that was a nice thing coming from him. But when it comes to me, the same that he had for others, I didn't experience that from him.
So you left see? Now? That opportunity came for you to go back and you did?
So he told me to leave. I left. I left with my daughter. It was December, I think, at that time. I left with my daughter, and I think 2 weeks before Christmas, I was there. I was at home. When Christmas Eve, we are sitting at home, myself and my family, and my mother, my sister, Ningning, I hear a phone ringing. It was him now calling me at home. You know, "Hi, ma'am, how are you?" I said, "No, I'm okay, Rhea. How are you?" "No, not so well. Your son is looking for you here." Now, the son that he said, I must leave with him. Yeah. "Your son is looking for you." I wondered, what do you mean my son is looking for me here? You know, he says, "No, there has been an accident. The child was hit. We had a driver that drives him around." So the driver apparently was reversing the car. My son, he was under 2 years old at that time, 1 year and 10 months or so. When he heard the car, the ignition of the car, he ran out thinking that it was looking. He was looking for me. Apparently, the child was missing me. For the 2 weeks, he was looking for me. I was nowhere to be found. And when he heard the car starting, he ran thinking my mom.
Bag.
Only to be hit because the driver didn't see him. You know, it's Christmas Eve, and I'm still aching myself from what I suffered. Then those bruises from the beatings, and now I receive a call about my son's car accident. That was really, really, really. I have been challenged in a major way. Challenged in a major way, you know. Then I am on Christmas Day. I had to come up to Gauteng, you know, sleep in Pretoria so that I can catch a flight.
To Nigeria
to go see my son, you know.
And I'm sure it was hard even leaving him. I mean, leaving a two-year-old.
It wasn't easy. It was painful.
Yeah.
It was painful, you know. It was really, really painful. And my family also was like, "What's going on? Where is the child?" Said, "No, Ray said I must leave him." "No, how can you leave a small child? How can a man look after a baby like that?" And he has to go to work, he himself. I said, "No, he thinks the nanny will be able to care for him." Unfortunately, it happened like that. But then I went back. And when I went back, my life was no longer the same. Every time I try and resolve issues with my husband, it's the threat of divorce. "I'll divorce you, I'll divorce you, I'll divorce you," you know.
So wait, now when you went back to Nigeria, where was the other child? Back in South Africa?
He was back in South Africa, but I later on had to, I wanted him, her also to come.
So
we arranged for her to come as well, you know. Although my sister was not very happy with that, at home, they thought, maybe just go with Ray and your son and leave the daughter at home so that she can at least have stability. But I also felt I can't be.
As a mom, you want to raise your kids together.
Together, yes. You know, it's like that. I capture these things in this book. If you read my book, you'll hear the story much better than I tell it. And then because of being tired of being told I will divorce you, every time I try to resolve issues, I will divorce you. I was pushed to go and divorce him myself. And before the divorce, I was already like suffering from depression. We came home at some point, and we were supposed to now fly back to Nigeria. Mm. And as I was packing, I just felt weak. I couldn't, you know, I was feeling weak, dizzy, weak, like I can't even move.
My body was, you couldn't push yourself beyond.
I couldn't, yes.
Yeah, you were empty.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah, you couldn't know. Give more.
You know.
Towards, yeah.
So I decided to consult. I think, I don't remember which hospital was that, somewhere in Pretoria. I thought, let me just go to casualty and let them check me so that at least I carry some medication with me to travel with. But when they saw me, they said, no, man, no, we are not going to be able to allow you to go any further. You need to be admitted and checked. You need to be checked by a psychiatrist because physically there's nothing wrong with you. Your sugar levels, your blood pressure, everything is okay. But the way you are, you know, they couldn't. The doctor was saying, I can't make a diagnosis. You need to see a psychiatrist.
Because they could tell you're not okay.
Yes, and the psychiatrist decided to book me in. And they informed Ray that I'm booked in and...
So you're diagnosed with depression?
Yes, I was diagnosed with depression. I was booked in. I was admitted for 2 weeks. I was on antidepressants. Mm. And that is when, from there on, I no longer went to Nigeria with him. Mm. I was now off. I was now no longer a diplomat, so to say. So I spent that 2 weeks in hospital. After that 2 weeks, now I moved into the flat with both my children. I placed the little one in the crèche. I placed the elder one, Omotuna, in primary school. And then I thought, now is my chance to follow up on my own education. Yeah. And I went to SACTE. I enrolled at SACTE. I got my academic record from Kimberley. And the remaining modules, I registered, I studied, and I passed. I obtained my qualification, went back home, and graduated.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Wow. Thanks. Yeah. So, but then I have no marriage because I have been threatened with divorce I'm living with a man who... I'm depressed because of the situation in our house, but he does not feel part of that. He feels it's not his business, you know. So I had no choice but to end up divorcing him. You see how I was pushed into the divorce.
Yeah.
And at that time, I know nothing about God. I know nothing about what stands in the scriptures concerning the divorce, only to find out later that is a grievous sin. God hates it.
Mm-hmm.
He speaks in I made notes here in Malachi. God speaks about how he hates divorce, and a man who divorces his wife covers his garment with violence.
Mm-hmm.
This was totally really befitting. You know, when this came to me, this word came to me, because after I divorced him, I now followed the faith. I decided to go back to church and look for God, to look, you know. At that time, I still didn't know much about salvation. Mm. I didn't know a lot about spiritual matters of life. Mm. I only knew, because I'm originally from Anglican, I'm born into the Anglican church. So I went back to church at the Anglican. And I spoke to our priest at the Anglican. I said, Father Ellen, you know, I am struggling, divorced, unemployed, sitting in a flat, no money to pay rent. Please pray for me that there can be an opening for a job somewhere. But Father Ellen tells me, you know, Jane, I know people. I have a testimony of many people who prayed for work and they got it. Just like that. Mm. That's what he didn't pray for me. Like I asked, he just told me, I have testimonies of people who prayed for work and got it. And then I went back to the flat and I prayed a little prayer. Father, please help me find a job to feed my children, you know. And during the week, I went about Pretoria News newspaper just to check the classified, the job adverts. And I find a number there on Pretoria News. There is a number where you can call into Jacaranda FM. And there is a lady who will pray for you, whatever that you need to be prayed, to be helped, prayed for. Just call and she will pray. She prayed with me on the line. I don't even remember. But after that prayer, things started to move fast. I started to move, writing letters, saying that, you know, I'm now going to start knocking at doors. I'm no longer going to wait for adverts and look for, you know,
posts to come out. Yeah.
I'm going to go knocking at doors looking for work now. And then I wrote a letter to a certain minister.
Yeah.
And the minister responded soon. She responded quick. All this was just the coming from prayer. The way that things unfolded for me, I could just see the footprints of God, fingerprints of God in it all. Because the minister, she responded so quick, and she sent her head of ministry to come and hear my story. The head of ministry told me, no, we actually are working on a project where we are starting a new project, and we want people. Give me your CV, let me see. I gave the CV. The process of recruitment started, and I got employed, like, soon. I was employed. You know, and now, after a while now no longer in Pretoria, no longer in Northwest, because my work started in Northwest, now back at home, my cousin's sister started to talk to me a lot about salvation. You must be born. I knew nothing about you must be born again. Stuff like that. And then she got me to watch Pastor Chifua Irene's these sermon. Things services, and I saw Pastor Chifua Irene's services. But there isn't a church like that. In she only goes around on, you know, what do they crusades? She doesn't have a church in Kimberley.
Okay.
But my cousin says, no, you can, there are many churches like that preach, you know, good.
Yes, so charismatic churches. Yes.
Yeah, good Bible preaching churches that you can find and go to. And then I decided one day, I asked my aunt, I said, Mani, can we go to, there's a church, I understand, it's a tent church still, but the word is being preached so powerfully there, and people are coming back with testimonies of changed lives. Like you are sitting always here talking about problems all the time, talking about how suffering, how life is stagnant, there's no changes. Let us go to that church. It was a Saturday, and I asked my aunt that we go the next morning, Sunday. And my aunt agreed, you know. Only to find that the morning Sunday when we were supposed to go to church, I wake up with my eyes red, sore. I wake up sick. My eyes were red, like as if while I slept, somebody came and just rubbed sand. You know, I couldn't even bring a hand close. I could already feel the pain as if I'm hurting my eyes already. Light, I couldn't face the light. Just the light, the electricity light, the pain that was in the eyes. I couldn't. I needed to just cover myself. My eyes wanted, I must just cover myself. So, but now I can, it means I'm not going to church again, you know. So, but what I did, I said, even though I'm not going to church and my eyes are painful, I can't watch TV. I sat in front of the TV and put on Pastor Chifua's channel. And I just lied. I took a blanket, covered myself. I listened. I'm not watching, but I'm listening. I want to listen to the word. Then came the time Pastor Chifua said, this is the time for you to receive your healing, whatever that is bothering you. Any pain, any sickness, any whatever that you need, open your mouth and pray. The anointing is available for you to heal. Mm. Touch, if you are watching from home, touch the TV screen. Mm. And I did that. I crawled to the TV. I touched the TV screen and I prayed. I prayed crying because my eyes couldn't stop. The tears were just flowing from the pain. And I cried to God. I said, Lord, I just found you. I just found you. The good news. I just found this beautiful, beautiful message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now my eyes are threatening to deny me the opportunity to read your word. Please heal my eyes. Heal my eyes because I want to use these eyes to read your word. Yeah. I'm telling you, the healing that came, the feeling that I got of healing that time.
It was immediately.
And it came with, you know, it was healing that is unlike the healing of medicine. You know, when you drink medicine, you feel better. That healing came with joy that I had from the eyes. And I couldn't stop singing. It was Sunday. I said, I didn't go to church, but I found church in the house.
Yeah.
And I now started to cook my Sunday lunch, cleaning.
You were revived. From someone who was bedridden, you get out of bed.
Imagine, this is how I experienced God the first time. You know, okay, then my husband, there was a time. It just so happened that my daughter received a call from a neighbor, my husband's neighbor, because he was now in Pretoria.
Okay.
So we receive a call, hey, Ray is in hospital in ICU, and the hospital staff are looking for the next of kin, you know. Family to come because he is at HF,
okay.
And they want to move him to the military hospital because he carries a military hospital card, you know. So somebody must come and sign for him, you know. So my husband got stroke. He was attacked by stroke. I don't know, somehow he was attacked by stroke. Got hospitalized, and the doctors were telling a story like it's a hopeless situation. Mm. It's really, they are not sure that he will recover. If he does, it will be that kind of situation.
Never be the same again.
Yeah. So I'm trying to get it to the point where I want to say God spoke to me about that. You know, there came a time when, you know, my husband was a man of people. He had people around him. He knew a lot of people. This is the man who had been in exile.
Yeah.
He had a lot of friends. He knew people from the African continent. But at the time when he was attacked by stroke, he didn't have anybody. And it was not the first time. Every time that he is in trouble, he never has anyone. But I'm always still carrying that burden of being his next of kin, more especially also because of the children, you know. So I had to run and go and be of assistance to him. I took him to the healing school. I asked the hospital staff can I please take him to the healing school. I took him to the healing school. Before even the program of the healing school was complete, he was not fully recovered, but as soon as I took him for salvation prayer, we went to church in Randburg, and when the altar call was called, I asked him if he wants to receive salvation, and at the time he couldn't speak.
Yes.
He had something in his mouth.
Yeah.
And he was feeding through tubes. Through the tummy. He was on the wheelchair. And when I asked him if he wants to receive salvation, he was nodding with his head, you see. Wow. So I asked the ushers. He says he wants to
receive the Lord.
Yes. Mm. And then they said, no, you can do this. Since he can't speak, I told them he cannot speak. I don't know if it was the stroke that caused him not to speak or what was it, But they said, no, you can do this. Since he said, he has said that, yes, he wants to.
Stand in the gap for him.
Mm. Place your hands on him and say the salvation prayer on his behalf. And I did that. I said the salvation prayer on his behalf.
Wow.
And then it was end of church. Then we went back to the guest house because we were staying in a guest house there in Randburg. We went to the guest house. I take him to his room, and I'm going to the kitchen to prepare food. There are other people in the guest house also attending healing school. And as I'm busy preparing food in the kitchen, I hear screams, hey, Mr. Johnson is walking, Mr. Johnson.
Hey, walking?
Yes, from the salvation.
From a wheelchair. The same night after receiving Christ.
Yes, we just came from church. He was coming down from the room, from the bedroom, walking by himself. Usually, he wouldn't even, you have to lift him up.
He didn't even have balance.
I had two men helping me with him. They had to help me with him, lift him up off the wheelchair. He couldn't, plus he was a big man, heavy weight, you know. But after the salvation prayer,
he stood and was walking.
He came down smiling like this, demonstrating how he is he is able to walk now. But then that story was dampened by the issue of his family saying that no, as long as the doctors are not satisfied, they didn't discharge him. Okay. I must just take him back
to hospital
to the hospital.
Mm.
But he didn't want to go there.
Mm.
The hospital put him,
lowered
his spirit so badly that he ended up regressing. The progress that was there in him, he regressed, actually. So he ultimately, when the hospital decided to discharge him, he was then placed in the hospice there.
Okay.
That is when he was in the hospice, because I was worried all the time.
Mm.
I live in Kimberley, he lives in Pretoria.
Mm.
The things that I know, the power of God that I know, I can't even edify him because he is there and I am
there. You are far.
And I was certain, I was very sure that God wanted me to do this because before even before he got sick, before he was attacked by stroke, I went to my pastor and said, you know, Pastor, I heard a stern voice of God saying that I hate divorce. I feel God wants me to address this matter of divorce. You know, but Pastor was saying, no, since you found salvation, you knew about the Lord after you were already divorced,
so you wanted to remarry at the time.
Yeah, you wanted to
go back to your marriage.
Yes.
Okay. So to go back with your husband.
Yes, because he was not involved with anybody at that time. You know.
So I'm like, might as well. And I'm taking care of you when you're sick.
Yes, and I'm taking care of him. And
nobody
wants him. Nobody cares for him, you know. Nobody cares for him. He's, in any rate, we were divorced, but he remained.
Your husband, technically.
Yes, and God does not. Then I learned that God didn't even recognize that marriage. You know, God was working in such a way that he wanted him to know Jesus. And to know Jesus, it was not going to happen while I was still married. So God, I believe, allowed our separation so that I may gain the knowledge that God wants me to impart to him.
Yes, then you receive salvation, he receives salvation.
Yes.
So now you felt like it's the perfect time for you guys to remarry.
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
so what happened? Did you remarry?
No, unfortunately, when we were supposed to, after I made that move to remarry, only a month later, he passed.
Oh.
I received the sad news that he passed. And you know what, Nick?
So had you told him that you want to remarry him?
Yes.
And he was happy
he
with
agreed.
That? Oh. Does that not make you feel happy?
You know.
At least.
But it troubles me in the sense that the way, I don't know, why when I said that I want to marry him, then he passes, you know, so quickly, you know. And but the day that I was told about his passing, mm. after, because it has been a long up and down, mm. you know, I was feeling numb already. Aww. I can't say that at that moment I was feeling pain of his loss or yes. what. I was just thinking maybe it is a relief or maybe I don't know, you know. But then I went immediately to my phone Bible. Mm. When I went to my phone Bible, I opened exactly at Matthew 9.
Yeah.
And second verse of Matthew 9. No, it's talking about Jesus at the time there was a man who was paralyzed mm-hmm. and was brought to Jesus. Ne. That story of a man that was dropped down the roof mm. and before they could even say anything, ne, Jesus saw their faith and said, "Be of cheer, son. Your sins are forgiven." And the moment I received the call about my husband's passing, this is the scripture that I received.
Wow.
Be of cheer. It was as sure. if I hear an audible yeah, voice.
Say, Be of cheer, son.
Your mm. sins are forgiven.
Wow.
You see. So I was relieved to know that the Lord saw my faith and the people who were helping me mm. with him, and he healed him. He you know.
Sure.
So I believe healed in the sense that not in the physical sense.
In the spiritual, yeah. It is well yeah. with him now.
Mm. You know.
And he's got salvation, which means you know. He's got everlasting life now. You know, mm. and I believe mm. you played such a huge role in his life, and you need to be mm. at peace with that
yeah.
and
yeah.
be happy that he received salvation, because that's mm. the biggest reward, you know, mm. for us as children of God, and
yes.
and that everything happened for a purpose and for a reason. And, mm. you know, I hope that, you know, people can get your book, because I'm sure you speak in detail there,
yeah.
you
in
know,
the book
about everything. Because
mm.
I'm in the love, I'm just inspired by the love. Like, yeah. through it all, you were able to find love yeah. again and be willing mm. to marry him, mm. even in that condition.
Yes.
And yeah. just because of how salvation had touched
yes.
you at that mm. moment. Wow. No, thank you so much for sharing your story. You know, mm. I'm curious for more, but we have
yes.
run out of time. So
yes.
let us know what you think of the story below, your comments, your emails. You know, let's have mm. her back come for a part two, because I feel like there's so much more to
yeah.
her story and so many lessons is it to
yeah.
be learned
yes.
from such
Where's
a
Where's the book available?
It's in Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
.com, not .co.za.
Okay, Amazon.com.
Yeah, I intend to also put it on Takealot.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And also on Draft to Digital. Draft
okay.
to Digital.
Mm. Awesome. We'll put the link on the description
Shoo.
Box. Please make sure you get the book and read the whole story to find out about, you know, what salvation did, the power of salvation and of finding Christ. Thank you so much for sharing your story.
Mm.
Wow.
Thank
Will you,
you
remarry? Do you want to remarry, or you are sold to the love of your life?
No, I'm a widow now.
Okay.
And I'm comfortable.
You are
with
content
that.
With
I'm
that.
Content
you're
with
not
that.
Looking for love. You're
not at all.
Wow.
Not at all. I want to give my entire time
to your
that
children.
Remains mm. on earth to the Lord.
To the Lord.
Ah, come on now.
He
yeah.
intended to work with my marriage.
Wow.
In fact, he wanted to work. The Lord wanted me to reveal him to the exile community,
oh.
to and you know the politicians and exile
so
community.
So you feel like you should have never divorced?
Even after the divorce, he
okay.
still,
okay.
even now,
yeah.
wow.
even now,
mm.
you know, he still wants that. The Lord still wants that.
And I feel like that's what you're doing even with the book.
Yes.
Just you sharing that testimony is
yes.
doing exactly that. May
mm.
God continue to use
mm.
you.
Thank you.
Thanks so
oh,
much,
wow.
Mama.
Thank you so much, Senfam. Until the next one, for myself, Innocent, and myself, Millicent, and of course, Umambuyiswa. It's bye for now.
Bye.
I've been through the most. Been through the most. Mm.